spring cleaning. I wasn't clever enough to come up with that like Kim was. I had to use words from the Bible to get my title. I didn't get to use my own. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like for you to go ahead and turn to Psalm 139. We'll be reading from there shortly. Psalm 139, "Search me, O God," is what I want to talk about today. And in order to allow God to search us, He may ask us to do a little cleaning. He may ask us to get rid of some things that we really do not need. How often in your personal life, work life, do you allow people to really get to know who you are? To truly know who you are, your little quirks, your little ways. I imagine most of us probably don't really show our true colors too often to folks that we don't see too many times through the course of the day or even through the week. And maybe you do, I don't know. But a lot of times we don't really want to let someone know who we really are because they may find some type of fault in us. They may find something that we're ashamed of. And so we kind of keep some things to ourselves. We keep a little secret, I guess you'd say. But we know that God knows all. We can think that we're keeping secrets from God, but we are not. There is no way you can keep a secret from God. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow at this very same time. So there's no way to hide from God. There's no way to keep anything from Him. But we can keep things from one another easily. You know, we can put up a facade, an image. And so we can fool one another, but we cannot fool God. And so what is living within your heart is who you are, the way you act outside of these four walls when maybe your church crowd's not watching. That's who you are. And so God knows your intentions. God knows your heart. And so we want to make sure that when we're living the life that we're supposed to live, that we live that very same life outside of Sand Hill, at our works places, at our schools, on the soccer field, on the baseball field, wherever. Waiting impatiently in line at Walmart when there's only one or two registers open. It's important that we remember who we represent. Because you never know, maybe 10 or 12 people back could be a member of your church and they may be getting ready to see you lose your cool. Or maybe somebody from town that knows you or somebody else that knows you. And you've got to remember that we may not think people are watching, but people are always watching. But if we took people out of the equation, God is always watching. And He knows what's in your heart. And He wants to simply come and live within your heart, so that you can allow Him to protect you, to teach you, to show you the ways of righteousness, and more importantly, to just love you. So that when you accept and understand His love, you could take that very same Christ-like love everywhere you go. Our God is omniscient. Our God is omnipresent. Our God is omnipotent. And our God is very, very holy. God knows us. He wants to be with us. And He has the greatest gift ever for you and for me. And He just simply wants to know you more. Because we can never learn enough about God and His greatness. Now, He already knows all there is to know about you and me, but He wants you to fully know Him more and strive daily to know Him more. And there's only one way that you can do that. And that is what we're going to read today in verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 139. So we want God to be able to search us. We want God to be able to know our hearts. And so I ask you this question. How many times do you find yourself saying this? Do you ask God to search and try and know your heart daily, weekly, monthly, every so often? Maybe never. The one thing that I want to stress today is that as Christians, once you've accepted the Holy Spirit, once you've accepted God's saving grace and invited him to come and live within your heart, you don't want to just ask God to search and know your heart the day that you realize that you needed a Savior and let that be the only time. Or maybe when we will partake of the Lord's Supper and we want God to search and know our hearts before we commune one with another. Don't let that be the only times that you cry out to God for him to search your heart and to do a little spring cleaning in your heart. We need to make sure this is something that we do daily. And probably more than once a day, if we were to be honest with ourselves. It's very important that before we ever attempt to do anything for God, that we ask him to search our hearts, to try us, and to know us. That way we can get rid of any unneeded actions, any wickedness that is within our hearts. And if we can't do that, or if you don't do that, when you are attempting to do things that God needs you to do, you may not be able to bear the fruit that you're very capable of bearing because you haven't allowed God to cleanse you of your wicked ways. And you may think that the word wicked is such a harsh word to use for you all today, but we have wicked hearts. We have evil and cruel intentions within our hearts. Whether you want to openly admit it or even admit it just to yourself when it's just you and no one else, that is what is within our heart. And the only way that we can fill our hearts with more and more joy and more hope is spending more and more time allowing God to search your heart, to try you, and to know you. That is the only way that you can abolish some of the sins that enslaves you. God wants to use you, and you should want to be used by God. So we will be reading now these two verses, and you do not have to stand for these two verses today, but follow along with me at Psalm 139. Verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God add a blessing to the remainder of this service as we continue to worship him this morning. In view of these reflections, the members of this particular congregation that we're reading from here, or reading of, they're inviting God to continue his work within their life. And that word is continue, which means to continually do over and over, not just when it's convenient, but making it habitual. And what a good habit to be in than asking God to search your heart out daily and to try you and to know everything that is about you. That is something that we all must continue in daily. And what a benefit it will be if you do so. And this is what I'm asking you all to do today. As a body of Christ, you know, this building that we come to has a name on it, on its sign, on our bulletin. But we all are simply a body of Christ. And so how important it is for you and for me to realize that he has great work for us to do, and this is just where he has led us all to worship together. So let us be conscientious of knowing that we are the body of Christ who comes and worships at this building that is named Sandhill Baptist Church. We are the body of Christ. We have a goal. Our common goal should be one thing, that is to grow spiritually, that is to grow in truth and grow in knowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, and to discover exactly what it is that he can do in your life so that you can allow for his kingdom to grow. And whether it mean to make his kingdom grow here within our town, to make his kingdom grow within our county, this state, this nation, or maybe overseas somewhere in this world, God has a plan for you. And you can be a key player in kingdom growth. By asking God to continue to search our hearts and to find any grievous ways within our hearts, it will lead you, it will lead anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord to be faithful and to find the way of everlasting. Now, don't fool yourself and think that there's only one true everlasting. There are two everlastings. life everlasting or death everlasting? And I hope that when you think of what that truly means as you sit here today, I hope that you realize that God hopes that you choose life everlasting. He has put everything out on the table for you. Everything is on display. He's given you His Word. He's given you His Son. All you simply need to do is ask Him to come and live within your heart so that He can search you, so that He can try you, and He can know you, for He wants to know you more. Who are to be considered the faithful? Do you consider yourself to be faithful? Are you faithful in your prayer life? Are you faithful in your daily reading? Are you faithful in serving others? Are you faithful in attending church when these doors are opened? Are you faithful in loving the way Christ loves you daily? The faithful are the righteous. That's a word sometimes that we don't like to use. We may hear some people say self-righteous, and none of us are self-righteous. You have only become righteous through the shedding of the blood on Calvary. You can be made righteous by God and God alone. Not anything that you can ever do will make you righteous. This is precisely what you are to do daily, asking God to search your heart. And I really tell you that it should not just take place when it's convenient for you. It's really important that you ask God to maybe search your heart every morning before you even begin your day. Especially maybe if you went to bed the night before with some things on your mind that you really didn't need to have there. Maybe an argument or fuss with a spouse, or maybe you said some harsh words to your children before you sent them to bed, or maybe you said some things at work. Ask God to clear your heart, to clear your mind and your soul of these grievous ways. God has great work for us here at Sandhill Baptist Church. And so I bring that to you today for one reason and one reason alone, because there is great potential here. And if we all will do our part by seeking God's will for each of our own lives and truly placing our faith and trust in Him, that we can do mighty and wonderful things here at Sand Hill. And not just because we say that, oh, we are doing great things at Sand Hill. That doesn't matter. So that we can say that we are truly in one accord with God. And if you're in one accord with God, and you're doing all that He needs you to do, we're all going to be in one accord. Everything is going to flow the way God needs it to flow. God doesn't want discord with any of us. And if there is any discord, we have to fix it by going to God and asking God to lead and guide and direct you and give you that knowledge and give you that wisdom so to handle the problem the best that you can, and know that God is on your side, and do it out of love. And when we do these things and we show Christ-like love, then we can go out and show Christ-like love to others. And sometimes, unfortunately, we know that we don't do a very good job sometimes of showing Christ-like love to our own members of our church. We need to love everybody. Love those who are unlovable. Doesn't mean you got to like people's ways, but you sure do have to love them. So very important that we love one another. And maybe you have a hard time with that. Maybe you can't do that. And there's only one way that you can do that. And that is by allowing God to do some spring cleaning within that heart, to take away those grievous ways so it will not hinder your life, your path to life everlasting. And even more importantly, it won't hinder the life or the path of life everlasting for maybe some of those people that don't know who Jesus Christ is. As Christians, we definitely do not want to be a hindrance to someone else. We do not want to be someone else's stumbling block. In verse 23, we read the word try me. And sometimes that word often gets overlooked. We don't think about the word tried. Your translation or what you have today may be the word test me. But do you ask God to try you? I'll be honest with you. That's a prayer I really don't want to just say, God, try me. Just try me, God. I'll prove to you that I'm faithful. You know, you have to then say, be careful what you wish for. And so God needs you to pray this prayer, though. God needs you to allow him to test you. Because if you are tested by God, how great it is when you pass. But he's going to test you again. And you're going to rely on God. And you're going to pass. But if you think you can do it all by yourself when God is testing you, and you think that you're going to do it without anyone else knowing, that you don't need any help from anyone else, that you can do it all by yourself, God's going to quickly let you know you can't do it by yourself. So, but when God tries you, when God tests you, and you rely on him, your faith will be bolstered. God will test you a little bit more. And then what he'll end up doing is he'll be able to bless you just a little bit more each and every time, because he sees that you're willing to be that faithful servant he's called you to be. We look at the lives of those missionaries who lost their lives this past week in the Middle East, and you think about their day each and every day and how they woke up eager and ready to serve God, not knowing that their life was going to end in such a tragic way. We don't know that either. But they were on the battle lines, ready each and every day, faithfully serving God. And now look how great their reward is, their experience in life everlasting. Now, honestly, and hopefully we don't experience anything like that here where we are, but you've got to be ready. You never know how God is going to try you. You never know how God is going to see how faithful you really are, how sincere your heart really is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to place yourself in his word daily and to have open dialogue with God, where you talk to him. And you listen for that beautiful, small, and still voice. The fact of the matter is that the more God tries you, the more he's going to be able to use you. If you prove that you're willing, if you prove that you want to be faithful to the Lord, and the more you prove, the more he can use you to be a servant for him. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In this verse, this is exactly what David experienced over and over again. He wanted this to take place in his life. Do you want this to take place in your life? Do you really want to see if there's any wicked way in your heart? I surely hope so, because I know that it's there. It's here within my own heart. But we need to find ways to allow God to rid us of these wicked ways, so that we can ensure that life everlasting, so we can ensure that each and every day that we live, we're headed down that path of righteousness. Not allowing God to see if there's any wicked way in your life is setting yourself up for failure. If you continue to live in sin and you begin to become naive to the fact, or maybe desensitized to the fact that what you're doing is wrong, and you're not placing yourself where God needs you to be, at the center of his will, then what's going to happen? That sin that you're living in is going to become and just take over your body, and you're not even going to realize that it's wrong anymore. And the only way to get rid of it is by giving it to God. That is the only way that you're going to get rid of any sins that are in your life. And if you don't focus on what God needs you to do, it's going to be more than that one sin. It's going to snowball. The more you continue, the more it's going to add on. The bigger it's going to get, the more it's going to just begin to spread. And more sins are going to begin to come in. Because what happens is that heart that you have that's full of love, hope, and joy begins to get a little harder each in every passing moment. And the only way to bust through that hardened shell is to allow God to chisel away bit by bit. And when you do that, you can allow God to forgive you. That is the only way. You repent these sins in which you live in. And you must be able to recognize these sins. But you will not do it on your own. You must seek God and allow him to point these sins out within your life. If you would now, turn back to the very beginning of Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. And I know we're going from back to front, but there's a reason for that. At the very end of this chapter we just read, we wanted God to search our heart. We wanted him to try us. We wanted him to know us. We wanted him to get rid of that wickedness so that we could have life everlasting. Verses 1 through 4. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Now, in reading those four verses, to draw one common conclusion from those four verses, what's the one thing that you see in these four verses? One thing. Nobody wants to answer this morning. First time I've done that since I've been here. On a Sunday morning, that is. What is it?
He knows all about us.
He knows all about us. He knows exactly what's going on within your life each and every day. And the good thing about it is that he wants to make your life better, so that you can receive blessings from him and that you can enjoy life a little bit more. But the greatest thing of it all is he receives the honor and glory for when each individual person can recognize the goodness of his love. And if you don't get anything else from today's message, remember this, that no matter what we do here at this church, no matter what you do, wherever you go, everything that you do, it always goes back to God, whether you recognize it and realize it or not. So this God that we serve already knows so much about us and wants to use us and wants to love us in greater ways than we can ever imagine. Surely we can simply give him our hearts and give him the time to come in and to cleanse us and to get rid of that wickedness so that we can do greater things for him. I love verse 4. You know, you always say, you got in an argument with your husband or wife and say, well, you thought it, you might as well go ahead and say it. Well, y'all know what comes after that. And of course, I'll be honest with you. I have thought it, and then I said, oh, I got to say it. I'm saying it anyway. And I'd say it. And I won't tell you what Amanda says after that. But God already knows what's on the tip of our tongue. And it's hard to bite that tongue, isn't it? You know, you feel like you always want to get that last word in. But if you're going to choose a person to get that last word in with, let it be God. Talk to him. Let him learn your ways and know your ways better so that you can learn and know his ways better so that you can serve him in a greater capacity. In these particular verses here, it's a clear expression of the attributes and of the character of God. That's what I love, because we know that he's omniscient. We know that he is omnipresent and omnipotent. We know these things, but it's so good when we can read word after word, verse after verse, and get that proof of knowing how awesome and mighty God is. David could barely describe the wisdom and power of God, but he meditated upon God's knowledge and power. And that's one thing that's very important, that we don't need to understand everything about God. He will reveal to you what he needs you to know. But you're not going to have this revelation unless you do what? Listen to him. Study his word and pray to him daily. That is the only way you're going to get that wisdom and that knowledge that God possesses. Now, we're not going to gain the wisdom and knowledge of God, but he will always reveal to you what you need to know at that current time in your life. And so just as David acknowledged God and all of his glory within these particular verses, that's all we need to do from this day forward. May today be the day that you recognize and that you realize that you need to give God what is due unto him, so that we can serve him and worship in greater ways every opportunity that we get, especially when we get to come together on Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and Wednesday, so that we can grow in spirit, truth, and knowledge
of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to recognize God's actions, His words, and even be able to recognize His thoughts. And as I mentioned, these are greater things than even what David could comprehend, but what did he still do? He still had faith. He still knew that even though he couldn't fully grasp the concept of what all God was capable of doing, he still believed with all of his heart that God had a greater plan for his life. If you would, hold your place at Psalms 139 and let's turn to Romans 11 at this time, please. We're going to still be in 139 to close out the service, but if you would, turn to Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. These particular verses here are a support to allow us to be able to recognize and accept all of God's goodness. Now, I'm going to read from a different translation than I've ever read to you all before. This is a Christian Standard Bible. It's a new translation. It's being introduced. It's not a Holman. It's a Christian Standard. This was something I picked up a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to be honest with you. The translation is very, very well written, and it makes things a little more understandable sometimes when we don't typically talk the way that King James was written. Or maybe some of you even use old King James, I'm not sure. But this is a very good translation. This is Romans 11, 33 through 36. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and untraceable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? And who has ever given to God that He should be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." Oh, the depths of His riches. Think about that. Now, when you think of riches, I know the first thing that pops in your mind is it's got to be money, that bank account. Got to be some type of physical attribute or thing that you can hold, a monetary rich. But this is not what God's speaking of here. The riches of His wisdom and the wisdom of His knowledge, those riches of His knowledge. And how great is that to know that when you can have the knowledge of Christ and the wisdom of Christ, that is greater than any money you ever could collect. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Do you know the mind of the Lord? No, you don't. But the Lord knows your mind. And He wants you to be able to come and know Him more. Then I like to ask, or who has been His counselor? No one needs to counsel God. God wants to simply counsel you. All the different problems of life, God has the answer. You can go and seek out counseling through man. But if you really want the problem solved, you just got to give it to God and allow Him to counsel you. And allow Him to reveal Himself through His word and through prayer and through studying and through coming here and worshiping or wherever you go. God is there to counsel you. And in closing of this verse or this chapter, it reads, "For from Him and through Him and to Him." And I love how the word "all" is written here. "And to Him are all things." And then how great is it to say that to Him be glory forever. Amen. To Him be the glory forever. And how great is that to know that when this earth or this world or your life passes you by, that you'll get to experience this glory forever. This glory that we relish in now is a glory that we'll all get to experience one day when God calls us home. Turning back to Psalm 139, verses 5 through 7. Psalms 139, verses 5 through 7. "Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me." Do you ever feel the hand of God on you? Do you ever know when the presence of God is upon you? If you're still enough and quiet enough, He will reveal Himself to you and you can feel the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence. I'll go ahead and read verse 8 because this is good. It says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. So when you ascend up into heaven, he's going to be there. But how great is it to know that while we're here on this earth, striving to live and please Jesus in all that we do, he has given us that gracious and that wonderful Holy Spirit so that we can experience the power of God. Remember that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time, and we should be very grateful for this because this allows us to never be lost from God. This allows us to never be lost from his Spirit. And there's nothing that will ever disconnect you from the love of God. You may disconnect with folks here on this earth, but you'll never be disconnected from the love of God. This is great news for those who believe and love God, because no matter what we do or where we go, we can never be away from God, and we can always go and accomplish the will of God wherever we go. And our final two verses of this very same chapter, verse 17 and 18. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When you awake, God is still with you. When you lay your head down at night, he is still with you. I started with the last two verses for a reason. The psalmist ended with his willingness. It's kind of like a doxology almost. He was willing to allow God to come on in and to cleanse the heart. But before they could truly realize this is what they needed to do, I want you to go back in your thoughts to what we read in the verse 1 through 4. They had to do what? They had to recognize how awesome, how true, how powerful God is. And that's what you have to do. You've got to be able to recognize and admit these things within your life so that then God will be able to come in and to do that spring cleaning within your heart. When someone you love is thinking about you all the time, it's comforting, and that's what God is. He's thinking about you all the time, and he loves you all the time. Even when you do not deserve his love, he still loves you. And he's going to always be there for you. And so many times in life, we mess up. We do things we know that are wrong, and we expect others to forgive us, and hopefully, eventually, they will, and they do. But even if man does not forgive you, and they can't find it within their heart to forgive you, God's going to forgive you. And that's really all that matters. Because when you make everything right with God, and you've done everything you can to make things right with man, that's all you can do. Make sure and always know that God has searched your heart and that God has tried your heart. And he knows the wickedness that is there, and he is going to assist you in removing that wickedness so that you can experience that life everlasting, so that you can tell others of this wonderful and great hope. He does not want to see any of you fail. And if you fall, he's there to pick you up. Or even sometimes he'll catch you even before you fall. His concern for you grows daily. His love for you grows daily. And I hope that you can say that your love for God grows daily. But once again, if you don't do the things that are needed to make that relationship grow, you're missing out on all of God's glory and all of God's love that you truly can experience. Don't be selfish with your time. Give it to God. Allow God to search you, to know you, to try you each and every day. And if you do, you will receive the greatest compensation there is. And that is to experience the riches and glory of God in heaven. You will get to walk down the path of life everlasting. And in the meantime, you will turn others to that very same life, teaching them and showing them the importance of God and what it truly means to have that wickedness taken away from your life. Search me, try me, and know my heart, O God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for all the many blessings of life. God, I am so thankful that you are willing to take the time to search out our hearts when we recognize we need it to be cleaned, and to rid us of the wickedness, God, that lives within our hearts, God. So, Father, I pray today if there's anyone here who has some wickedness there in their heart that they need to get rid of, Father, may they come to this altar and give it to you. God, we know that we fail one another day in and day out. God, but you will not fail us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us, Father, and we're so thankful for this. Lord, may everyone here today place their faith and trust in you and know that you will take care of them, and all that you simply want for us is to know us more and to give us all that we deserve, God, in the righteousness of you. Father, we love you and we praise you. All of this I pray in your precious and holy name. Amen.